Thank you, kids. That was awesome. Way to go. I hope that you all out there were not just listening to the performance or enjoying the performance, but I hope that you were really listening to the message. Lana said before that it was going to be a powerful message, and I think it is, because in case you haven't noticed, we live in a selfie world, right? Even if you've never taken a selfie, which may be like two of you in the room, perhaps, I don't know, or if you don't have a social media account, or if you're still really confused by what in the world social media is, no matter where you are on that spectrum, you are living in a culture that is infatuated with the self. But when a community within that culture, like this group of kids up here was dialing into this morning, captures the message of what we heard today, that community can experience something different together. They can also demonstrate something different to others that about what the kingdom of God is really about. And that's exactly what today's scripture passage that I want to focus on tries to communicate and inspire in us today. So please turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. And if you're new with us, welcome. We've been talking for the last several weeks about a letter in the back of our Bible that is called 1 Peter. It's a letter that Peter, hence the name, wrote to a group of churches who were facing tremendous pressure and persecution in their communities because of their faith in Jesus. And he wrote the letter to encourage them and to inspire them and to instruct them how to live on mission with God in such an environment. And I believe, church, that when we apply these words in our lives and in our congregation here at First Presbyterian Church Fresno, that it will be and is transformational. So look with me at 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Hear now God's holy and awesome word. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They think it strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached, even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to men in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. How do you build a healthy church community in the midst of persecution? That's the question that Peter answers here. It's kind of the question that he's attending to in the whole letter. And it is an incredibly important question, because the health of the local church is the fuel, or it's what drives the mission of the church to be making disciples in a healthy way. And so Peter gives in this short little passage five imperatives or five commands, five things that he instructs the churches to do. And so in the short time that we have today, it's just kind of a brief message. I want us to look quickly at these five imperatives and talk about how they connect with us and what God might want to do in us through these imperatives. Look with me first at the first one, which is in verse 1. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, Peter says, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. Now, remember that in the section right above this one, Peter gives the example, or he focuses on the example of Jesus and what Jesus has done to reconcile us to God, that Jesus suffered in his body as the perfect sacrifice on the cross for our sins. Peter writes that Jesus was the righteous for us, the unrighteous, the perfect sacrifice. And Peter's first imperative to the believers is that they should put on the same mindset, or they should take up or arm themselves. I love that image, with the same mindset as that of Jesus, the same attitude. It's just exactly like what Paul says in the scripture that the kids quoted from Philippians 2. Take on the same attitude as that is Jesus. And what is that attitude? What does that mean to have the mindset of Jesus? Well, I think he defines it well for us in the next verse. He says, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires. But here's the key. But rather, they live their lives for the will of God. So arming yourself with the attitude of Jesus, with the mindset of Jesus, means that your mindset is one set on living for the will of God. So instead of living for our dreams, it means living for God's dream, the kingdom of God. Instead of continuing in the sin of your past that Peter kind of lists out there, it means turning away from that sin. Instead of living to advance ourselves and get more likes on our page, it means living in surrender to God and finding our true identity in him. How is the attitude of Jesus reflected in your life today? That's the first imperative. The second imperative is found down in verse 7. He says, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Another version says, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. And he says that command, or that imperative, right after he starts with the end of all things is near. Now, Peter's not trying to be a doomsday guy. He's trying to help them understand the true perspective on things. Because when we see the truth, when we recognize all that God has done in the past through Jesus for salvation, and when we see all that God is doing, or even a piece of what God is doing, when we recognize what God is doing in the world right now, and when we know the truth about the future, that, as Peter says at the end of that first paragraph, that every person, every one of us will stand before the judge to give account. When we know the truth of all of that, God's work in the past, what God's doing now, and what God will do in the future, it helps us to be alert. It helps us to have the right perspective. It helps us to be sober-minded. And it leads us into prayer because we recognize how much we desperately need God to work. Sometimes, you know, I think in the American church that we get kind of lackadaisical in our faith, mainly because it isn't costing us much. Because we're not paying attention to what God is doing and the way that God is inviting us to be a part of it. Peter's word to us, I think, church, is wake up. Wake up. Live like the end is near, so that you will be led into prayer, not just individually, but together as a church. Are we awake? Are we alert in such a way that we are drawn into prayer because we know how important it is? The third imperative, which is the one right in the middle, which shouldn't be lost on you, that it's right at the center of all of this, is found in verse 8. Peter says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. This is, by the way, the fourth time in this short little letter that Peter wrote that he's calling them to love one another. And this time he says, above all. In other words, he's saying, church, this is the most important thing. Love one another deeply. There's that extra word there. Earnestly is what he's saying. Because when you love like that, it's transformational. The kids talked about it up here. They sang, love is changing me. Love changes things. And love is the way that you can make it through the hurts and the disappointments that always come in community. He's not just talking about feeling a certain way. He's not just talking about warm and fuzzy feelings for people around you this morning. He's talking about the kind of love that chooses the highest good for the other person. And when a church community learns how to do that, wow, that is powerful. That is transformational. The kingdom of God is manifest. How are you doing it? Showing the love of Christ to one another. The fourth imperative, I think, just builds right off of that. Peter says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. In other words, you can't sneak away into the kitchen and talk under your breath about the people that are in the dining room. It means that the congregation is to be generous with one another. It means, by the way, I think that the congregation is commanded to view their homes as a place of ministry, not just for the people that live there, but for others who might be drawn in there as a place of Christian hospitality. And to do that without complaint. We follow a man, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who was the ultimate host. He is the ultimate host, and we're called to be like him, generously sharing our lives with one another. How are you doing in the area of hospitality? And the fifth imperative is the subject of the last two verses. Look at verse 10. Peter writes, each one, that means everyone, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. I wish I could just preach a whole sermon just on this verse, because there's so much here. But the imperative put simply, the command put simply is this: use your God-given gifts to serve others. So the call is to serve one another, and to serve with what God has given you. If you put your faith in Jesus, this is the other thing that's here. If you have put your faith in Jesus, then you have received the grace of God. And one of the ways that you have received the grace of God is through the distribution of spiritual gifts in the congregation. In the original language, grace and that word for gifts are the same, from the same word. And so God has given you gifts. Every single one of you who's a follower of Jesus, God has given you gifts. Each one should be using those gifts to serve others. That's the way that we steward or take care of that lavish grace that God has given to us through Jesus Christ. How are you doing at stewarding the gifts that God has given you? And so in this short little passage, there are these five imperatives. Arm yourselves with the attitude of Christ. Attitude. Be alert and sober-minded so that you can pray. Pray. Love each other deeply. Love. Practice hospitality without grumbling. Host. And five, use the gifts that God has given you to serve. Serve. Attitude. Love. Pray, host, serve. Can you imagine a church? Just think about those for a minute. Can you imagine a church, a congregation, in which every person was living out those five imperatives? Can you imagine how vibrant that church would be? Isn't that the kind of church that you want to be a part of? Isn't that the kind of witness that you want to be giving in a selfie world? I do. And there's only one way for us to become more and more of a congregation full of people who are living out these imperatives. There's only one way, and it's not just to try harder. The only way that we can truly have the mindset of Christ, the only way that we can continue faithfully in prayer, the only way that we can love each other deeply, the only way that we can live with generous hospitality, the only way that we can truly steward the gifts that God has given us is to receive the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Don't miss this. The more we understand our need for God's grace given through Christ, and the more we receive it through faith in Christ, the more we are empowered to live like Christ. Jesus said of the woman who anointed his feet and wept at his feet, she who has been forgiven much, loves much. The more we understand our need for God's grace, the more we learn to truly receive that grace through faith in Christ, the more empowered we are to share that grace with others. So if you want to grow in any of these areas, if you want to more fully obey these commands, if you want our congregation to look more like the congregation that's described here, then ask the Lord to help you grow in receiving His grace for you so that you can share that grace with others. And I imagine if you're like me, there's one of these imperatives that kind of sticks out for you this morning. And if not, then I just encourage you to ask God. God, show me if there's a place in here, something that you want me to be aware of today in a new way about my own life and about the way I'm living in the context of this congregation. Pick one. Pick one of these five. And this week, ask the Lord to grow you in His grace so that you might grow also in building the kind of community that truly shows the awesome kingdom of God. Pray and ask God to help you share yourself rather than your selfie. So that, as the passage ends so beautifully, in all things, and especially in this congregation, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. May it be so in our congregation. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your awesome grace. Help us to be the people that you call us to be. Help us to have the attitude of Christ and humility. Help us to live for the will of God. Help us to be alert and prayerful. Help us to love deeply. Help us to host generously. And help us to serve only with what you have given us to serve. All of it, God, so that you might be praised and glorified. And help us, Lord, to grow in that, not by just trying harder, but by receiving the grace that you have to give us more and more. And if there's anyone here who's never received that grace, I pray today that you will make yourself known to them, that your grace is sufficient for them, that you can change them with your love as they put their faith in you, Jesus. And for there are many of us here, we pray that you would just help us to grow in faith, to grow in receiving that love you've given. We ask for it in Jesus' name. And everyone who agreed said, amen and amen. Church, the last thing we're going to do, turn and face me. And I invite you now to receive this blessing from the Lord as the prayer team is going to find their way forward and they'll be up here. Some of them are already up here. Awesome. Way to go. They're going to be here. If you just kind of come and pray about anything, they're here to pray with you. Now receive this blessing from the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His perfect peace today and every day in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And all of God's selfless people in a self-e world said, amen. Go in peace.